The Royal Velivar training post was in a state of chaos since before the sun rose on this day. Nalan and Rovash were still in their private quarters, gearing up for their exploration into the caves that lie beyond the dragon. They dressed in dark clothes and stowed some of the wizard's salves and runes in their belts. They would be traveling light, so there was no room for niceties. Nalan shoved some face paint into her pack for herself and tied her hair into a knot at the nape of her neck. "Ready?" Ro kissed her as she nodded yes in reply. "If there are more dragons in the caves below, we may be running out of that place fast," Rovash told the men as they made their way across the courtyard. "We must be ready for anything." He used his commander voice so everyone within earshot could hear him. "Yes, sir," echoed back through the jumble of men as supplies were loaded onto the wagons. His captains had managed to bring these young recruits to a higher degree of discipline, but Rovash worried he might be asking too much of them in the face of a possible dragon attack. "I believe in the light-footedness of the Edeleth, even if she is being followed by an enormous oaf such as you." Dakin grinned at Nalan as he walked up and poked fun at the commander. All teasing aside, he clasped Rovash in a ranger's traditional farewell. "I have faith in her as well," Rovash grinned back at him. "Be safe, my friend," Dakin added. "I will watch over the home front while you go out and have all the fun." "Somebody has to be in charge, Dakin, and you are the better man." Rovash tried to razz him back, but it felt more like mushy sentiment when he said it. He was about to savagely punch Dakin in the arm when their sparring was interrupted by Fiona. "Are we giving up on finding any more Edeleth in the territories?" Fiona asked loudly as she walked over to where the two were goofing off. Her eyes screamed, "Little boy," at Rovash, while her mouth silently waited for his reply. "I agree that we should still search." Rovash quit bouncing under her glare and went back to being serious. "The question is, where do we look from here?" Ro said, as Nalan handed him his sword. He inspected his father's newly cleaned and sharpened blade and busied himself strapping it onto his shoulder harness next to his daggers. "I think maybe we should look to the northwest around the Northshire folk, past the town of Breenway. They might know something," Fiona tried to convince him. After a short pause, Ro answered as he buckled his weapon harness on. "Yes, that is a good idea, Fiona. Pray this assignment goes well, and we have only one dragon to contend with. Your suggestions are duly noted." Fiona looked relieved that the commander was not going to ignore her this time. She half smiled at Rovash. "Be careful. We want you both back here in one piece," Fiona said with concern as she hugged them both goodbye. Ejlem had made his way across the courtyard to Fiona's side. His frowning face was evidence that he was still not happy about being left behind. "Better yet," Ro turned to Fiona with a new thought. "Send out runners to see what they can bring back. Tell them to keep an ear out for any word of dragons or this strange religious cult we heard about, just in case." "Yes," Fiona was excited by his suggestion. "Now we can get something started." She trilled as she bounced off the front of him with a quick kiss and hug. "Now you can be in many places at once," Ro winked. "See how you have your hands full here," Rovash lightly punched his little brother in the arm. EJ smiled sheepishly. "I am sorry for the depths of my anger, Ninhan." He spoke to Rovash for the first time in several days. EJ gave himself over to one of Ro's massive bear hugs. "There is my brother's face," Rovash happily growled, dropping EJ back onto his own 2 feet. "My heart could not stand parting with such disagreement between us." "Neither would mine." EJ looked like he was on the verge of tears. "Who else could watch over our Fiona?" Ro whispered. You know the trouble she can get into, he said louder, knowing she was listening in on their conversation. I am right here, Fiona teasingly scowled. Their silly antics made EJ smile and laugh a little. Rovash winked at Fiona as he mounted his horse. Circling once to gain control of the reins, Rose saluted to Dakin and then turned galloping through the gate to catch up to Nolan, who rode at the front of the cavalcade. Rovash is so happy, so much more relaxed since he's been with Nolan, Fiona thought to herself as she shaded her eyes from the sun's glare. He calls my sister Little Bee. How sweet they have become, Fiona said out loud, feeling EJ's hand come to rest on her shoulder. The wagons creaked and groaned as men helped push start them for the horses. They were heavily laden with the supplies needed to build a base camp. This meant their kin would be gone a long time before they would return. Welcome to the conclusion episode of Season 2, Tales of Eldalorn, Book 1. My name is Carly Bond, and I'm reading for you Chapter 32, Here and Now. The onyx dragon's scales shimmered like precious stone as it lay near the opening of the dark cave entrance. It perched unshackled and seemed to be in a state of hibernation for some unknown reason. This does not seem right, Ro whispered. Dragons need to eat and hunt. There is no sign of normal dragon behavior. Something or someone has to be controlling it. Rovash had to disagree with Dakin's observation on that point. The monster has flown down in from somewhere and just stopped, Nolan whispered back in agreement. I myself have patrolled this area of the valley many times and do not remember ever seeing this cave entrance here before. Rovash felt his skin crawl as he said it. He inspected the strangely carved look of the walls. Do you think the beast dug this? Nolan asked as they crept past the drake. The tunnel ran mostly straight west and was smooth and arched as if hewn from the rock by some unknown magic or tool. Ro extended his hand up and could touch the height of the center of the arch. I would think it would take many seasons for mere humans to dig something like this, Nolan whispered. Not so long for goblins, but they tend to use tunnels they find, not dig new ones, Ro said as they moved further into the darkness. I am afraid to move quickly lest we meet with a trap or drop off a cliff in this lack of light, Ro cautioned. They moved closer to the right side of the cavern to walk. Will we never find an end? Nolan complained as she looked behind them. The faint light of the entrance had long disappeared from sight. Did you notice? Ro asked. There is no life. Yes, Nolan answered quietly. There were no bats, no rats, no moss. Not even mold or roots anywhere. Ro started to feel the hair on his neck rise in battle readiness, but he did not know what he sensed in the darkness. As the path never changed, they felt more confident and picked up the pace. What Ro and Nolan did not notice is the incline of the trail was dropping gradually into the lower depths of the mountain. How many leagues? Ro asked as he stopped to check the map. We've gone at least 5 and curved very slightly to the right, Nolan said. Ro unfolded a small parchment. That puts us in the center of the mountain range. Nolan felt uneasy as she tried not to think of a whole mountain piled above their heads. According to this map, we are moving towards the location that would be near Etten Fields. We are under the mountain where the ancient goblin rulers once lived, Ro pointed it out to Nolan. There must be another way in from the other side, he surmised. Maybe the goblins have come back, Nolan said. They both cringed at the thought. We will soon find out, Ro replied, as they pressed onward. Being Edelith, Ro and Nolan could see fairly well in the dark, which gave them an advantage over mortal men, but it had its limitations. We are going to have to rest, Nolan, Rovash finally said after another hour of trudging down the empty dark corridor. I grow heartsick in this oppressive darkness, he confessed. Nolan reached for his hand and squeezed it. I feel the same heaviness in the air, she said, as they both leaned on the wall and slid down to a sitting position. Rovash dug in his pack, searching for his light. He had a starlight that was magically captured in a tiny jewel-like bottle. It was given to him as a youth from King Elendil himself. He didn't like to use it very often for fear it might wear out. Right now they needed it so badly. Ah, here it is, Ro showed Nolan the finial in his hand. With one touch, the light flared into the familiar bluish glow that he had always known. Rovash had tied a lanyard to the light long ago, so you could hang it from a belt or around a neck. It is good to see your face in the light again. Ro already felt the tension ease as he looked into Nolan's shining eyes. After knotting the leather cords together, he reached over and draped the finial around Nolan's neck. It rested comfortably at her bosom. The light did not react to her touch as she picked it up in her hand. It is a bit of magic, Ro snorted quietly. The only real magic I know. It is beautiful, Nolan smiled as she peered into it. They shared a meal that Fiona had packed for them of whey bread, fruit, and tea. After they finished eating, Nolan and Ro checked their packs and the dirt floor around them to make sure all their things were still together, just in case they had to move out fast. These make us invisible to enemy eyes. Ro set Fargal's wizard runes around them in a half circle on the floor. I would not have believed it had I not tested it myself. Wizard magic always holds a fascination for me, Ro mumbled from fatigue. Rovash rubbed his neck, still feeling the tingle of battle alert. I feel something too, Nolan said, seeing him fidget. It is as if we're being watched. Keep the light for us. When you gaze upon it, be assured that no matter where I am, I love you. Rovash kissed her solemnly as he gave Nolan his first and most precious possession. With a touch of his finger, Ro turned the starlight off, and they were swallowed up into the oppressive darkness again. You are the only light I need, Ro whispered to Nolan as he closed his eyes to sleep. Nolan carefully placed the finial inside her belt pack. Even though it did not react to her touch, she did not want it to light up at some inopportune moment. She crawled up the front of Rovash and lay her head gently on his chest. I always feel safe with you. She smiled at the comfort she felt there. She was soon engulfed in his warmth as he wrapped his arms around her. The steady thump of his heart in her ear lulled her senses to sleep. The air grew hot with the smell of iron, blood, and sweat as Ro and Nolan slept. The sound of clanking chains as prisoners stumbled along the path woke Ro first. Humans dragged heavy shackles around their ankles. Chains ran up the front of each one, fastening around necks and wrists. Rovash clutched Nolan tighter to himself. Feeling his tension, she woke, letting out a small gasp of surprise. They sat in silence as the line of humans moved past. A rune went flying as a shuffling foot kicked it. The stone clanked further down the tunnel. One of the guards heard the clatter and swung his torch around, searching, but saw nothing. So they just kept going without any more hesitation. The magic held. Rovash and Nalan remained unseen in the darkness. They could only watch and wait until the procession passed down the tunnel far enough not to hear them. Did you see the guard? They are goblin, tall, half-breed. This means the monsters are making offspring. Nalan scowled in alarm. We cannot be too far from something now, Ro whispered. We must follow. Picking their way along the wall, Nalan found the last rune and stuck it in her pack with the rest. They both kept their blade hands ready as they moved forward, following the macabre parade into the darkness. Soon they came to an opening of an expansive cavern. It was so large, it made Elendil's palace seem insignificant in comparison. A fortification of new construction wrapped across the far end of the place. I think we must go through there, Ro said, looking critically at the fortress. This is the ruins of the ancient Goblin King, Nalan whispered. Her eyes methodically checked every edge and crevice for signs of enemies. Then we have just come through the whole mountain underground, Ro answered her, clarifying what they already knew was correct. Dimly lit oil fires dotted trailing pathways far below in the vast chamber. In the darkness, the place seemed devoid of life at first glance. Nalan tied off one of their longest ropes so they could descend into the place while avoiding the main road. Soon the familiar smell of feces and filth rose up, stinging their eyes as they slowly repelled their way down a sheer rock face to a large overhang where they could rest. Directly below them, Nalan and Rovash could hear sounds of human voices pleading for mercy where there was none. They are taking female human captives. Ro's eyes narrowed, horrified at the thought of such suffering. They are birthing the Hisi again, Nalan frowned. There has to be a leader behind all this, Ro added, thinking to himself whomever it was would be the first to meet with his blade when he found him. We must get across to find a way out. I am sure now it opens into Etten Fields or somewhere near there. Ro silently nodded as his eyes pointed across the cavern towards the other side. Nala narrowed her eyes and nodded in understanding. They both turned to pick their way across the rocky terrain, moving quickly toward the fortress that dominated the western end of the ancient Goblin Kingdom. The kingdom of Anghali faces mortal danger as an old enemy rises from the depths of a mountain. Goblins multiplying, Hisi being created. Soon the industry of forging and crafting will fill the great caverns of the ancient Goblin Kings. I think Rovash was correct in assuming there has to be a leader. Whomever they are, they must be pretty powerful to have built that fortress across the cavern. Rovash and Nalan have completed their mission. They have discovered some ilk in the lower depths of the mountain. Now the question is, can they find their way out of there? Tales of Eldalorn is now moving into its fall break. While I'm diligently working on Season 3, just for you, it's a good time to do some binge listening and get your friends involved. Next week, I will be releasing the second mixtape. It's the Season 2 featured music from Tales of Eldalorn. It's about an hour long, and I hope you enjoy it. On your commute to wherever you go or through earbuds directly into your brain. Well, however you listen to your podcasts, you can find Tales of Eldalorn on just about everything all across the planet. I think I have some episodes in the bag, just for your entertainment while we're on break. No spoilers here. Yeah. And if you miss me, you can always find me at carlybond.com or neck deep in dragon death and all kinds of stuff on Elder Scrolls Online with my peeps at Lore Seekers, and you know who you are. Love you guys. And see you next time. This is Carly Bonds signing off. Elvish lesson of the day. Tolkien's world names at least 15 different types of elven kin in his writings. The Telerin or Telerin elves are the singers. They sing the news across the physical and spirit realms for all to hear. Is the sound of their song always compelling, you might ask? Sometimes, yes. I suppose it depends on the urgency of the message. Like if it's the death of a sovereign versus an announcement of an upcoming celebration. The Telerin elves named themselves Glinil. A group of singers is called Glindrim. And all the singers are Glinath. So now you know when Rovash is talking about the Glinath song. He's talking about all those elves. Hey, you could think of them as elvish version of social media. Oh, okay, no Twitter jokes.